there's no better deal for $4 than the Wendy's 4 for 4 meal. Start with our Junior Bacon Cheeseburger. Made with fresh beef and freshly cooked bacon, crisp all-white meat chicken nuggets, natural-cut fries, and an ice-cold Coke, all for just $4. No one makes $4 sound as good as Wendy's. Get more for four, the 4 for 4 meal deal, now at Wendy's. Offer includes small fries and drink at participating Wendy's for a limited time. Prices may vary. Offer not valid in Alaska and Hawaii. Fresh ground beef available in the contiguous U.S. and Canada.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Author's Corner. I'm the host of the show, Neil Haley. You can go to my website, toldtutor.net, for more information. Twitter, toldtutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley, Instagram, toldtutor, Pinterest, Neil Haley, Google+, and also on Periscope at Total Tutor. And it's an exciting week, a very, 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 very crazy week, to say the least. Friday, I got television. Saturday, I'm doing a talk. Amazing guests throughout the week. Plus, I have to run a business, so I'm excited. A few businesses, but I'm excited to welcome the program and author and educator and speaker, Phil T. Maycomber. Phil, thanks for calling, and how are you?
I'm doing really well. It's so nice to be here today with you, Neil.
Oh, absolutely. I'm excited to have the conversation with you for sure, and what you're able to do to help others. And I've been seeing the posts and seeing how you've been able to transform the education field is tremendous. And I'm excited to have the conversation today. But I first wanted to talk to you about a little bit about your background, then we'll get into the book and your whole mission.
Yeah, you know, I completed a fellowship at Johns Hopkins Hospital. It was the Kennedy Krieger Institute Division back in 1988, and I supported communication technologies and instructional technologies and had the chance to train pediatric residents right first off entering the field of education. And, you know, since that time, I've had the opportunity and the privilege, quite candidly, to train and consult with thousands of teaching staff and therapists across North America and now even outside of the United States, like just recently in parts of Italy. And I have to tell you, Neil, that I think since that time, I really see, just as you probably have, being in the field of education for so long, the same problems existed way back then that continue to exist in all systems of education today, you know, regardless of the year or the geographic location.
You're so right about that. I mean, and we're constantly seeing, Phil, that that we have not addressed this problem. We have not addressed how to teach every student. We have a specific one-size-fits-all education. The teachers want to teach multiple modalities. They want to try multiple things, but Phil, they're pushed with paperwork all the time saying, you got to move them forward. We can't look at your idea and your whole mentality of wanting a one-room schoolhouse, which is the most ideal type of education for everyone. We're going to push them in through a factory, a one-size-fits-all education. If you don't fit that bill, you're finished. That's it. You're going to fall through the cracks.
Exactly. You know, each day I see, because I spend so much time in real classrooms, in real schools, because I think you have to spend time there to know where the real problems exist, right?
Right, exactly.
That I see teachers, whether they're in general education or special education, or they're therapists that provide therapies to special needs students, they walk into their school, they go inside their classrooms or their therapy settings or resource rooms, and they simply try to keep their head above water, right? Because they don't give up on making a difference, because that's why we all do this. But they have to cover an incredible amount of information, all tied, in the United States, tied to the Common Core standards, in unrealistic, an impossible amount of time, right?
Yes, like, yes.
I always say, Neil, I have 180 seconds to go to the bathroom every day, you know, just like all the other teachers. And they're trying to reach and teach students and need real practical methodologies in order to deliver that the kids could wrap their head around.
And see, Phil, the problem is that, again, as you talked about the Common Core standards, we were trying to catch up in education, yet we weren't, the politicians, the school boards, everyone's not looking at that, Phil. They're not looking at all these things. They're not looking at, well, we can't push everyone ahead of grade level. I mean, yes, we needed to challenge kids that need to be challenged, but other kids just need to get the basics. And that's what I still don't understand. As teachers, every teacher, if you polled every teacher, they would want to see kids learn. They wouldn't say, I want everyone to advance and become the greatest ever, because that's not life and that's not society. But if we don't move kids forward and progress because we're constantly pushing them ahead without having that foundation, what's going to happen to our education system? I mean, that's the problem.
Well, you know, right, teachers are leaving in droves, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Within the first 5 years, 50% of our teaching staff exit the field. And it's not because they don't care. It's because they care and can't do a good job and feel good about what they're doing, right?
Exactly. And
yeah, so
Phil, how are you going to help in your transform this to be able to, with your method and what you're trying to do, to really try to finally kind of push the needle the right direction? Because, we're not going to be able to defeat politicians in education. They just don't understand. We're not going to be able to defeat the lack of funding that education has, that school boards are forced to make cuts and forced to do certain things and not do what's best for students. But someone like you wants to change things in so many ways. How would you do that?
Well, I've authored a 4-step teaching framework.
Okay.
It is simplifying learning, and it in turn simplifies teaching for teachers to be able to gain control of their instruction again. And it's research-based, called the PACT.
Okay.
And what it stands for is technology helps easy and practical. We don't often find that happening in schools. Accessible curriculum teaching. And it's outlined in my first book called The Power of the PACT. What I've done is try to cut through it, streamline for teachers to be able to say, let's have 4 basic steps that are based on brain-based research in the way we should be presenting information to students in the proper sequence, regardless of what the topic is, so they have anchors in the classroom to decrease their brain load and be really successful. I'd love to talk a little bit more about the details about that.
Oh, yeah. We have definitely some time to do that. So let's tell us some of the details of that.
Yeah. What the PACT is it really provides connect-the-dots kind of instruction. I feel like in education right now, people are on an elevator, and sometimes they go to the 8th floor, and then the next day they go down to the 2nd floor, and then they go way up to the 63rd floor. And it's just this bouncing around of covering different skills that really do not follow a developmental sequence, and it doesn't follow what I call a staircase of skill building. And so the PACT is the opposite of that. What it really does is assures mastery of building a solid comprehension of learning about something, and that's the first step, is called the Learn About module. And then it moves on to taking what we learned about and expanding it into readabouts. Okay. And then now that we have solid learnabouts and readabouts, now we write about them and then talk about them in a more formal way to do presentations and participate in formal discussions. So students are anchored in how to do their activities, and they can focus on what they're learning. And the bonus, teachers are decreasing their prep time doing this because they're selecting really consistent ways to teach in their classroom, getting control of their curriculum instruction in their classroom, and saying, I don't need to do 35 things. I don't need to do 20 things. I need to do these 4 things. And I am delivering the Common Core on a platter to students of all ability or whatever their educational standards are, and including our students with special needs accessing grade-based curriculum, and not for token inclusion like we often see.
And presenting that, what makes it different, Phil? What makes it different in the way your presentation to all levels compared to the way the mistakes we're making in education? Meaning like schools, certain, and I don't think it's all schools. Don't trust me. That's one thing that I think that's very good about the reauthorizing of IDEA. I mean, not of IDEA, I'm sorry, of No Child Left Behind, is that now we're finally figuring out there's an area that really is more concerning than all of schools in general. There's schools that really have to get more and more funding and more help. So I'm happy about that possible change. But go ahead with what you were going to say.
Yeah, I agree. The Every Student Succeeds Act, I think, is going to be successful because, right, like it's going to be shifting really what the control is at the state level, right? So we're still accountable for student performance, but I think that we're moving away from that one-size-fits-all, to use the term that you used before. And the pact is more one-size-does-not-fit-all.
That's
so we're
good.
Differentiating to students of all abilities. But how does it differ than what is currently happening is a really good question. So what ends up happening is teachers walk their students through learning about something, reading about it, writing about it, and talking about it. Let's use a content example. Let's say it was science.
Okay.
Start of the year, they're learning owls of North America. And the teachers say, I am going to, based on my style of teaching and the kind of learners I have in my class, I'm always going to use these kinds of activities in science for learn about, read about, write about, and talk about. And so they start Owls of North America, and they learn all the vocabulary, and then they move it to some really nice read about activities, and the mayor comes in and reads, and they do comprehension things. And then they all pick an owl that they do a report on, and they create a 3D of their owl, for example. And then they give an oral presentation on it. The unit's successful. Then they start the solar system, and the students say, I know I'm going to play those same vocabulary games, but now it's going to be on planets and celestial bodies
yes.
in space. Right? And now the mayor's going to come in, and he's going to read to us on this. Or we're going to have all our comprehension reading activities on this type of format that is the same that we did in OWLS. And you know what? We're not going to stuff an owl this time and make an owl. Now we're going to create our own 3D planet. We get to create our planet, and then we give an oral presentation on it. So now the students are saying, I get it. I get this instructional dance. Now they're able to focus on what they're learning and not how to do it. That is a key foundational principle of the pact that was proven in our research. Could I tell you a little bit about our research?
Yes, can we jump right? So basically, what you're talking about is engaging the student before, spitting out tons of information. You want to engage them in a specific learning strategy before looking at the objective, it sounds like. Am I correct in way this is kind of formatted, that it's so important about how the delivery is done more than the goal at first? Because if you don't deliver it in a specific way, that objective and goal is not going to be reached.
And you're spot on with that. You know, it's basically how the brain works. We have to teach an understanding of content in really anchored formats before you test what was learned, because then you won't really get a proper assessment of what the students really know. And, you know, doing this in a method that is so predictable for them that they feel so successful and strong. You know, we found this in, we had 19 research sites across North America, and we did a 2-year study, just completed it. And what we found is that the students' instruction time to gain the knowledge of the content actually decreased, Neil. So if they started in Owls of North America, it may have taken them a certain period of time to really absorb that information across learn about, read about, write about, and talk about. And then when they did it on the solar system, the instruction time decreased for mastery.
Right.
And then they did it on magnets and electricity next, and it decreased even more because they knew how their instructional formats worked. You know, I had a math teacher in eighth grade come to me, and she said, Phil, I've been listening in your trainings about what you've been saying about the consistency and predictability. Mm-hmm. And I thought back to the lesson I taught on Tuesday, and I spent 75% of my class time explaining how the math activity was going to work. And we didn't even get to the math concepts that we needed to get to and spend in that particular class, because the lesson was just so complicated, the kids just didn't get it. And she said, I'm going back to the things I know work. I'm going to go back to the things that they know, and I'm going to teach all the new information from old methods, because now they're getting new information in methods that they understand. And that's a unique thing about the pact. And people have been loving that concept and seeing results.
Definitely, I see that. So after you come up with the strategies, looking at the learning modalities to present the material, what's next in your steps for the PACT?
Yeah, next would then be once students master those types of formats. So say you play a vocabulary game,
right,
do glossaries and dictionaries and learn about, then you would start adding additional activities, because we don't want boredom in a classroom.
Right,
we don't
right.
want to say, oh, do I continue to have to do these things? That's the common sense approach, right, to the methodology, is that once students start mastering this, then you add additional vocabulary types of learning in the Learn About module, additional read about activities, additional write about, to the point where then you say, let's take a class vote. What are we going to do today? But the other key point, Neil, and I know that this is a passion of yours mm-hmm. as well, is being able to reach those students in special education so
yes.
they could access grade-based curriculum, right? So
yes.
it's all about differentiating
mm-hmm.
and them being included in their learning
Absolutely.
Community. You know, I say all the time in my trainings that a child in special ed doesn't earn their rights to be in the general education.
They don't want them in there. Trust me. They don't want them in there.
Exactly.
And you're on the end of training teachers, and the teachers are, it's out of the teacher's control, but these IEP meetings that I'm in as an educational advocate, the fights are just knockout, drag out. They're just hurtful, a lot of problems, and they're not, and they feel that just put them in their ability level, put them in a resource room and be done with them. And that's really a sad situation, instead of fully including and differentiating instruction and not saying, well, we can't modify our adapt. We're not going to modify the curriculum. We're willing to adapt a little bit. We're not willing to modify, because that's not going to help them in the long run. And that's, I know that saddens
yeah.
you for sure, Phil.
Yeah, and you know, Neil, it's so interesting. When the PACT first launched and was published back in 2010, my original contribution was because to differentiate and have meaningful inclusion of children with special needs and learning disabilities and other students in special education in the gen ed classroom. So I started training, you know, of course, special educators and therapists and some teachers saying that they didn't know how to reach and teach these kids. So I was able to, with this research-based teaching framework, come in and teach them hundreds of strategies of how to differentiate and provide multiple levels of representation under universal design for learning, so to speak, to be able to reach and teach these kids. And also, not just differentiate down, but Neil, as you know, we need to differentiate up too, right? So for the kids that are accessing above grade level, we want to make sure they're challenged as well. And then the teachers came back to me and they said, Phil, we're thrilled. These strategies are really working to be able to differentiate, but they're not just working with our students in special ed, they're working with all the kids.
Right.
Boy, Neil, that was a very different compass pointing north for me and for the PACT, because I looked and went, wow, all of the research-based strategies that we know work, that are multi-sensory, can work with students of all abilities. It's not gen ed versus special ed with the Venn diagram and we only have a little bit in common. It's one circle of education. And that is my mission, is to be able to say strategies that can happen in the gen ed classroom can reach students of all abilities, if you are able to deliver your instruction in this method. And we're seeing great results. That's the exciting part.
Yeah. I mean, those great results is huge, because, I mean, to be able to see kids progress, and as we talked about before with NCLB's the revision of No Child Left Behind, it's huge. It's going to be a big part of looking at each individual student. And also President Obama and Secretary Arne Duncan were looking at, instead of the group before, of we're evaluating teachers based on the group of students, now we're evaluating on individuals. This fits perfectly mm-hmm. with your program, because teachers are now evaluated on the individual's progress. And so when you're doing this using the PACT, it really, they're able to do it. First, the delivery is a different type of delivery even before you're looking to meet those objective goals. You're seeing that the importance of the differentiation of instruction right from the beginning. So, you know, you do a vocabulary game, but you're already or review or whatever to kind of to engage them, and then you're ready to get them into groups based on ability levels to be able to work peer groups and really go at it. Right? It's right. You start out by delivering the instruction, but then you already know your abilities of your classroom and where. How instruction should be delivered to the entire group and then into to individuals, correct?
Correct, yeah. And, you know, I remember when the PACT was in, like, year two, I was consulting with a third-grade teacher, and she was very interested in this methodology to use with all the students in her classroom, but she specifically wanted to get Matthew, who had Down syndrome, to be able to achieve at his potential. And those were her words. Isn't that just a lovely way to say that?
Yes.
Achieve at his potential. Mm-hmm. Let's make sure that Matthew's really getting it and we're serving him well.
Yes.
And, I mean, what parent of a child with a disability would not want to get a call from
exactly.
their school to say that a meeting needed to be scheduled because their child met all of their ed goals in their IEP before the annual review date? And that's what happened with Matthew. He started off at the beginning of the year, and his goal was to be able to take four concepts through learn about, read about, write about, and talk about. Now, the other students in class that were at grade level, they were doing anywhere between 12 to 20 concepts, but Matthew was doing this at his level, and he was fully included in his general education classroom. By March, we needed to call an IEP meeting on him because he was mastering 12 to 16 concepts by then. Through this methodology, and we achieved at his potential. And that's the success that we want, right? That's the one size does not fit all.
Exactly. And that one size does not fit all education. We want that. And so we want all these different ways of doing it. So I'm really interesting what you're talking about, the PACT, and I think you break down each one of the strategies of the four parts in one show, just one of the parts, because there's so much to this, Phil, and that's really the cool thing about this. Now, you talked about research, which you were bringing up a little bit when you did your research, but tell us a little bit more of that research of why a school district should consider utilizing this system so you could come out, talk to them to help in their process of formation so that they can deliver the PACT.
Yeah. Our first research study that we completed was a special education study. And I wanted to focus on our learners that needed more differentiation and had lots of different learning profiles and complex disabilities, learning disabilities, those on the autism spectrum. And so really what we looked at was their instruction time, how they were meeting their learning objectives, pre-PACT, post-PACT, so to speak, just to simply put it. And so we had 19 sites across North America, both in Canada and the United States, from preschool all the way through after the 2011 secondary education graduation of special education. And so it went even into some adults with developmental disabilities in the workforce, because the PACT could be used at any age, for any grade, on any topic. And so the results that we had about 92 total subjects that we followed individually, and we found that their instruction time decreased with every new curriculum topic using the same materials and the same types of teaching strategies, regardless of the subject or topic. So we tracked that. But then we also looked at their participation and their presence in their least restrictive environment, meaning their classroom. And so they were spending more time in their general education classroom participating in the activity. So their participation time increased. And those that had behavior issues were actually showing more on-task behaviors and cooperation in their lessons. And the teacher surveys that came back said one of the reasons for that is because the kids understood what they were doing, and they had investment in their learning activities. Oh, all of that was so exciting. And then the teachers also reported their prep time decreased, which was a bonus because they knew how they were teaching something. I kind of call it like a Tupperware.
Right.
You know, so here you have your Tupperware containers, and now you're putting in algebra, or now you're putting in geometry to your Tupperwares. But those same Tupperwares could be rinsed out the next time that you're teaching another system or another topic, rather. And now you can move on to doing something more like life cycle of a butterfly or with preschoolers, community helpers, or ancient Greece in
right,
high school.
Exactly.
So there's not an expiration date on the packed meal. And that's another unique thing that I forgot to mention is that, and that's not my term, it came actually from a school district. They said, what we love is we could start this in preschool and it goes all the way through graduation.
That's great.
Imagine that, continuity in education, right?
Exactly. And so, Phil, also from this is, like you said, we talked about the differentiating of instruction. The two other areas, just, I guess, to name them, because we didn't get to them, really, and we definitely have to have another time to try to just do it more focused on one area of your ability to teach teachers how to teach. What is the third area of the PACT? After going through this, you talked about specifically the how you deliver it, then the differentiation. What's after that?
And then I would talk about definitely universal design for learning, and then being able. Are you referring to the different modules? Learn
yeah,
about, read
yeah,
about, write
yeah,
about,
yes,
and talk about.
Yeah. So.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I think also. Yeah. You know, Neil, like how we always focus on learner outcomes, and of course we need to do that. But there also is a parallel road to that. There's also us supporting our teachers to help them meet their teacher evaluation system.
Yes.
And so that's another component, and I'm very excited about thinking of doing a research design under this umbrella, because I've looked very closely at different teacher evaluation systems and how using the PACT is helping teachers meet their teacher evaluation systems. Like, for example, in one district, we did Charlotte Danielson's eval system, and that's what that district was using. And so we took all of her criteria and said, by doing this in your classroom aligned to the PACT framework, you're meeting this in Danielson. And so we're not just supporting learners, we're supporting teachers.
That's great. And so definitely people need to check you out at aboutthepact.com for more information. Is there other places we can check you out as well?
Phil? Yeah, you can definitely check me out at Facebook at Evidence-Based Teaching, The Pact. And I am also on Instagram. You can email me directly at Phil, P-H-Y-L, at aboutthepact, T-H-E-P-A-C-T. com. And also, Neil, I love talking with people. I donate a significant
90
amount of
seconds,
time, especially now that I'm a part of this global sisterhood and the Common Threads trilogy with Dr. Shelley Hipsky. She has formed a nonprofit called globalsisterhoodonline.org and has launched a Common Threads trilogy. My story is in this trilogy, along with other wonderful, empowering women. And we know that so many women are in education and need to be inspired, empowered, and need balance. Personally, I need that balance part back to
reading
the trilogy. But it's a great shout out to get involved in that as well.
And, fantastic. Great. Well, again, Shelley and I we've worked together many times. She's fantastic. And it's great that you and Dr. Shelley, you're part of this tremendous movement for women. And that's great. And to get out there and help them in so many ways. So, Phil, thanks for calling. Best of luck. And definitely have you back to try to, if you want to have some conversations again in some of these education topics we have that are coming out. Definitely, I know you want to chime in for sure. So thanks again for calling.
And thank you, Neil. I appreciate it. It's a true pleasure.
Thanks, Phil. All right, take care. Bye-bye. All right, that was Author's Corner,
bye-bye.
Guys. Take care, everybody.
There's no better deal for $4 than the Wendy's 4-for-4 meal. Start with our Junior Bacon Cheeseburger. Made with fresh beef and freshly cooked bacon, crisp all-white meat chicken nuggets, natural-cut fries, and an ice-cold Coke. All for just $4. No one makes $4 sound as good as Wendy's. Get more for $4. The 4-for-4 meal deal. Now at Wendy's. Offer includes small fries and drink at participating Wendy's for a limited time. Prices may vary. Offer not valid in Alaska and Hawaii. Fresh ground beef available in the contiguous U.S. and Canada.